flu went through my house.
Yeah, that's fun.
That's such a fun intro.
Yeah, well, you know, that was not the fun part, but I somehow came out the other side as the only one thus far unscathed.
Yeah.
Flueless.
Yeah. So aside from knocking on wood every chance I get, I am telling my family that it's proof that God loves me more than the rest of them. So
holier than thou.
Is that, I mean, is
check
that...
Check and mate.
Scott is... Maybe did you get your angel from Paula White from last week?
I didn't pay $1,000. Maybe we should just send a free one for the publicity. For the free
right. Yeah.
You know, an angel sampler.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nasrallah. With me, as always, Pastor Dave Bazar.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
All right. Welcome. New month.
Yeah. April.
Yeah. At least, did you do anything fun for April Fools? Did you do a prank?
I didn't.
I ruined Patrick's prank.
That's true.
I did.
Like on purpose? Or?
Yes, because he was trying to do it to someone who did not need to have it done to them at the beginning of our staff meeting.
Oh, yes. David.
I did do a prank in staff meeting. I told our... I went in and had... Pastor Cassandra has a leak stuffed thing. Yeah. Not an animal.
It's a stuffed leak.
Oh, okay, like the vegetable.
From the movie Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Yeah. I put it in the kitchen.
Oh, there's a leak in the kitchen.
Right next to the ice machine. Yeah. And it said, Rick,
where there has been a leak.
Rick, there's a leak in the kitchen. I think it's coming from the ice machine.
And he freaks out. I don't need Rick having a heart attack during our staff meeting. But praying. Anyway. So I made Patrick stop and confess before Rick ran out of the room. And yeah.
Oh, buzzkill.
I know. I am the buzzkill.
I know. Did you do any pranks, though?
No. I did. It wasn't strictly for April Fool's, but at church, my husband has a thigh tattoo of, like, it is the one of the busted up toys from Sid's house from Toy Story. The Barbie fishing hook thing on his thigh. And it looks kind of like a pinup, right, because of the legs.
Sure.
And I had Sharpies because we're doing the rock thing, and I drew a poop on his leg coming out of it with flies.
That's definitely what we intended those Sharpies to be for.
Well, it is what they're being used for.
For body art.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the closest available. I got.
All right. Well, let us know your prank stories.
Did he know that you were doing that?
No.
What was he doing?
Yeah, he's got to know.
Well, he's just too trusting.
What did he think was happening?
He thought I was like tracing part of it to like see, because there's a part he wants to get filled in better.
So he thought that you were like demonstrating what it
this is what it could look like.
Yes. And instead you were drawing. Okay, all right. Yeah. That makes more sense. I'm with you on this. Yeah.
Right. But.
All right. We're going to South Korea for our news story.
Okay.
It's a long flight.
It is a long flight.
This is South Korea is where women have given up men.
That's true. Yeah.
Famous
it's
for
where
skincare.
The largest church in the world.
Largest
is.
Christian church.
Yes. They're very cool.
They have like 22 services every Sunday.
Yep.
So that's a lot of services.
That is.
I'm sure they're very culty, but you know. It took 960 attempts for this woman to get her driver's license.
960.
In that's South Korea.
That's a lot. It feels like this is an unfair living into of stereotype that is.
Oh, like the female Asian driver?
Take your pick, either one.
Should you be allowed to take that 960 times?
At some point, you think you should just be told this is not a good fit.
Right.
You should.
Like maybe 5 or 10.
Yeah.
I think once you've reached double digits, I feel like it's got to be over. Like it's just done at that point.
Right. Or at least like you got to like wait 10 years.
Cha Sa-soon, you made international headlines by taking 960 attempts to make a driver's test.
Was she doing the driving portion, or was this like the written test? And she was just like really bad at really bad test anxiety. Because I don't want to make fun of that.
This is
well for 960 times. I feel like we can maybe make fun of it.
This is written tests.
The written
so here's here's the timeline.
Okay.
She first attempted the written test.
Okay.
In April 2005.
Okay, it's been a long time coming for her.
20
yep.
years. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And then continued to retake this test. Every single day, 5 days a week, for 3 years.
From 2005 until 2008.
Yeah. I know it slowed down a little bit to maybe twice a week.
Okay.
Towards the end there.
But so
every day going to take it, the written test.
But she just got it now.
How many questions are on the written test?
South Korea, man. I don't know.
It can't be that many.
For me, it was probably like 25.
You got your driver's license in Texas in the 90s, all right?
But
teenagers today are taking the same test. Like, it's not...
Not in Korea, though.
Yeah, right. Not.
But, like, yeah.
But, like, teenagers in Korea are taking
by accident, you would just get
right.
it. Like, you know.
Like, statistically, you would get it
All right.
After, unless you're really convinced that you're right, even though that, like, it keeps coming back around, you're like, no, that is the right answer.
Is this like a 50 first dates situation where she has like a short term memory
loss? That
would be
bad. We shouldn't make fun of that either.
No.
Is it that?
No.
Unless it's an Adam Sandler movie, we shouldn't make fun of it. Right. If it's Adam Sandler, then it's okay.
Then we can make fun of it.
All right. After she passed on her 860th attempt.
Okay, 860 written tests.
Okay, but then she has to do the practical portion.
100 more practical tests to pass the driving examination.
I feel bad for the test administrator. Like, there's somebody who has to sit in that car with her as she fails 99 times. Like, and I can't imagine that the 100th was that much better.
No.
Like,
it had,
like, like all of a sudden it clicked. It's not the 100th blow that breaks the rock,
right?
It's the 99th before. Yeah.
That's
so,
right.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah. She finally passed in 2010. So 5 years.
Okay.
And she was 69 years old. So there you go. It cost her over $11,000 to get this test done.
That seems like the minimum that it should cost you to.
Is it worth it?
No.
At that point, just Uber, girl. Right. Come on. Like.
It was 2005. Uber was not, a worldwide phenomenon just yet.
Right. They had taxis.
They did have taxis and public transit in major parts of Korea. Was she in Seoul, or that's the only city in Korea?
It's
the only city in Korea.
That I know. I said that I know.
It's, yeah. Look, she's got Seoul. All right. When she's finally got a license, we all went out in cheers and hugged her, giving her flowers. It felt like a huge burden falling off all our backs. An instructor at the driving school. We didn't have the guts to tell her to quit because she kept showing up. That's Park Soo-young.
Didn't have the guts. At some point, somebody's just got to pull that trigger and say, this is not a good idea.
Which you're just going to sacrifice everybody else on the road.
Yeah.
I'm feeling really good about that ocean in between us and Korea.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not going to be driving in Korea anytime soon, thankfully.
Her name is Soon. Chase soon.
Soon.
Yeah.
Soon is coming. Coming soon.
Yeah.
So there you go. So you're going to get in the passenger seat with.
No.
Yeah. No.
We all have kids. Yes. How many times are you going to let your kid take the test before you're like, you're done?
At least for a little bit. Probably three.
You know, you get them three?
Yeah. I think three is a good time.
You fail three times in a row. Like,
you got to take a year off. We're starting from scratch.
Yeah. Right. Okay. You need some more practice, clearly.
Because, it's a massive thing that can kill other people yourself.
No argument.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering why somebody didn't step in here after three and be like, you know what, Park Soon? Maybe. We just need to tone it down.
What are you doing to fail your driver test that many times? I mean, is she texting? Like, in front
what are you doing that you can afford to go to the DMV
every day?
Yeah.
and spend $11,000. Like, what is your private income that you can spend your time this way?
Yeah. Because obviously you're making it work without a driver's license. Mm-hmm. You're getting to the DMV.
That's right. Every day.
Yeah.
So maybe she works there.
Maybe.
hanging out after work.
I'm like, okay, obviously she must be like forgetting important parts of this to fail over and over and over and over and over again.
Something.
So, makes anybody think that she's going to magically remember those things when she walks out of the door after 960 times of not remembering?
Do you think it's a mandate that people who work at the DMV have, passed the tests?
You would hope.
I would hope, but there's a lot of things I would
hope. Like the people who work behind the desks who are, taking your picture?
Yeah, all of them.
I don't think you have.
I think it should be a law. Let's right here. We're going to make a law. Anyone who works at the DMV should have to take and pass the driver's test once every 5 years.
Once every 5 years?
Yeah, they should keep having to do it. They should prove that they can still
do
it.
Maybe they have to do it, and that's why they're so miserable there. It's a miserable place to be, the DMV.
I don't disagree that it's miserable, but if they're going to tell me that I don't know how to drive, they need to prove that they know how to drive. That's all I'm saying.
Auto-renew as long as you can, baby.
Agreed.
That's just what you got to do.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
I'll take a photo of me from when I was 24. Keep that thing rolling.
Yeah, absolutely. No, my driver license picture is awful. I went, it was the week after I gave birth, and I'm all, swollen and
love
puffy and
you.
Exhausted. It's real bad.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Did you have to do the test?
No.
Post-birth?
No.
Okay, that's good.
Because, I already had a driver's license, and it wasn't expired. I just moved from South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. All right. There you go. Well, hopefully.
Do you think you could pass the test now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I could.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel good about it.
Yeah.
Could I pass the SATs now? Probably not.
I mean, there is no pass, right?
Could I get as good a score as high school Badger did?
Probably not. Yeah,
probably
not.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
I think it's done. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's get on to our main topic.
I think we should do an episode where we all take the written portion of the driver's test.
Yeah, that see sounds how we fun. Do. Yeah. Okay. Can you just get it? Like,
yeah.
You can get... A competition, okay. We can get driver's samples. Test competition.
Let's do it next week.
And then we all put ourselves in various driving scenarios.
Yeah, we can set up the chairs in here like a car.
It's road rally day outside, right. So yes. We could probably get a little scooter. And,
I love that. Yeah.
That's right. Preschool.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't just have a road rally.
We don't just have guys doing donuts in the parking lot and monster trucks. Because if they did, what are we doing in here?
Right.
Yeah, I would be out there.
All right. The spiritual practice no one wants to talk about by Taylor Ooh. Berry. This friend's relevant.
Are we making guesses?
Yeah. What do you guess is the spiritual practice no one wants to talk about?
I tried to guess this one. Yeah. Soup. Hot take that this one that nobody wants to talk about is way better than a couple of the other ones that they mention.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Like fasting, for instance.
Like fasting is better?
Yeah. Well, no, this is.
Oh, you think people want to talk about fasting more than they want to talk about this?
No, people want to talk about this more than they want to talk about fasting, or people want to do this more than they want to do fasting.
People want other people to do this more than they want to talk about fasting.
Yeah. Right, this is probably very confusing.
Okay, we're not guessing, though.
No. Well, I already know. I read.
The spiritual practice of prayer. Nobody wants to talk about it. It's a lame guess.
Yeah. This is a very lame guess, yeah.
All right, what do we got? What is it? What's the spiritual practice?
All right. We talk a lot about spiritual disciplines in church. Prayer, fasting, scripture, Sabbath, maybe even journaling, silence, or retreat. But confession?
Dun, dun, dun.
That one rarely makes the list. It's the discipline that makes everyone squirm, the one we avoid, even though the Bible literally tells us it's where healing begins. All right, so confession is what Taylor Berry here is putting forward as the spiritual practice no one wants to talk about.
Wasn't
what do we
confession
think?
A song by Usher?
Yeah, these are my confessions. Yeah.
He's confessional.
Yeah.
Just when he thought he said all he could say.
A little pre-podcast note also on the list of people that I'm surprised are still alive.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And not in prison.
Right. Well, sure.
Yeah.
Even with all those
confessions.
Untouched
by P. Diddy, apparently.
Yeah, well. It's a different conversation altogether.
Right.
Maybe he needs to do confessions. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. What do you think? One, is confession the spiritual practice no one wants to talk about? You say no.
No. Elise says no. I say I don't think people want to talk about it, but I think that we have a skewed perspective because of the Lutheran Church and are leaning into it as a regular practice for us.
I think the way that Taylor will go into it, I could get his point because he's not talking about like so in our church we do like a corporate confession.
Wait, is Taylor a guy?
I don't know.
I assume Taylor was a girl. Does that make me a bad person?
No, usually it's the other way around.
Oh, okay.
It? Yeah.
All right. I'm a good person. Good. Yeah. I didn't know if I needed to confess something.
So. I mean, Taylor could be a boy or girl. So
that's true.
It's, traditionally. Yeah. So.
Or a panda.
Or a panda.
A panda.
Sure.
Taylor the panda. Yeah.
It's panda the third gender.
Or a clothes maker.
Taylor can be whatever Taylor wants to be. All right. The world is yours, Taylor. Don't let us put you in a box.
Like a Taylor. So we do corporate confession, you know, we all confess. There's here's forgiveness.
Corporate meaning we do it as a group, not meaning that we get corporations to come in.
Yeah, yeah. Apple comes in and we're like, you got a lot to talk about.
Right.
When are we getting Twitter in here?
Right.
Because they got a lot to say, you know. But we do it all together. Mm-hmm. But I think the spiritual practice of like you should confess your sins to another person is not something that really probably gets talked about very much.
That's fair. Yeah.
So
outside of the Catholic Church who calls it a sacrament and says you have to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you got a little screen at least between you and the
person, sure. So. Yeah. Privacy.
It's interesting. I think that this probably pops up in like mental health discussions more though, but it's not called confession. I think it's called accountability.
Sure. Yeah, but I think there is a distinction between accountability and confession insofar as accountability is not necessarily saying that anything you're doing has an inherent moral value one way or the other,
yeah.
Right? Confession implies I have done something that violates a moral standard of mine, or of God's, right?
Right.
Accountability might just be like, oh yeah, I ate more than I was supposed to eat this week, right? Like, I don't know, like whatever, like, you know.
Go me.
Brag. Right. Look at me chowing down.
I more meant that you're confessing that you perhaps broke a diet or something like that, right? And so you're saying this to an accountability partner, mental health, or whatever it is. But yeah, that's.
I think I just think about it because I have been thinking about it in terms of more like accountability. To me, it's just like something that you do if you want to have healthy relationships and friendships and stuff, right? Because
sure,
we're all constantly doing things that.
But how do you confess the things that haven't directly impacted the people around you?
I don't.
Well,
like, why would you?
there lies the purpose of this conversation.
I mean, not to them. Like, if it doesn't impact
right.
them.
So the purpose of this confession would be that you have a space to name those things that perhaps are impacting your relationship with God, but are not impacting your direct relationship with those around you. And
okay.
so you have a particular person that you confess to, like a priest in the Catholic practice,
sure.
right? You have a particular person that you confess to say, like, this is the thing that I've done, so that you verbally speak that out loud.
Okay. So help me out here.
Yeah,
what? Sure. How is that somehow better than like a silent accountability with God, right?
Yeah.
Like saying, oh, I am taking accountability for I have done this thing. Like I recognize I've done this thing
mm-hmm.
and I'm addressing it.
Sure.
Right?
So I think it would be similar to having an accountability partner for something like a diet or mm-hmm. right? Like you have a physical person who's there with you to hold you accountable to that. Also to speak words of forgiveness for you, right? To remind you of God's forgiveness in that space, but then to be that you're accountable to another human being who's walking with you in that practice.
Yeah.
So good news.
Oh.
Taylor's going to get in on this. So.
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, we're getting ahead of it.
Yeah. We're writing Taylor's article for him or her.
Yeah. I just went with it. I don't know if you noticed because I choked in the moment. I was like, I don't know.
Themselves.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it is not correct.
I know.
In no circumstances.
No,
it, the
no,
appropriate
no. That
pronoun.
Was a fumble. We'll fix it in post.
Well,
we will
first, know. Taylor will say, this is from James, the book of James.
Okay.
Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So,
yeah.
You know, scripturally, we have a verse right mm-hmm. here attaching a bit of healing to confession.
Yep.
So, all right. So this is a great question, and maybe we should start here. Why should we do that? Maybe Taylor's going to get to why don't we do that first.
Yeah, sure.
And then maybe we get into why should we. So why do we not do that?
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. I mean.
I think nobody cares is a piece of it. I think part of the reason that nobody cares is that much of our culture lives along the life of you do you, right? So like. What do I have to confess if I'm not hurting anybody, right?
Yeah.
If everybody around me is fine, what do I have to confess?
Only God can judge me.
Right. Only God can right. So and God already knows what I did or didn't do, so what do I have to confess? And so I think we've lost some of the kind of like we were talking about in the front end, right? We've lost some of the meaning and the impact of that action of doing a thing. I think that's a big piece of it.
I've also heard people like confess to things that are just ridiculous and seem like attention seeking.
Yes.
Like, have you seen like,
absolutely.
They're like, oh, I had uncharitable thoughts about my neighbor in
mm-hmm.
traffic this week, and I'm really working on this prayerfully. And you're like, shut up.
Sure.
Like,
so please don't whisper shut up to people. But yes, I hear you.
I'd make a poor priest. We already know this.
Yes. I think
yes, for a variety of reasons, you would be a bad priest. But that's.
I think ultimately it's fear. I mean, like that's
just
a little bit of fear. Like I'm afraid if this is too deep or too hard, you know, like they're going to look at me differently. And also, I think as far as Elise was saying, and I think this is an analogy, kind of like I like is like, you know, our confession could be like a swimming pool, and there's the shallow end that goes
mm-hmm.
to the deeper end, and
mm-hmm.
we oftentimes will. Easier to confess things that are more on the shallow end of the pool that are lighter, that are like that I judge my neighbor or whatever, that like everyone can connect to, everyone's going to be like, yeah, that makes sense. And then we can trick ourselves into thinking like, well, I just showed them the swimming pool, like I gave them the confession that but we're ultimately kind of like holding back part or harder, deeper or more weird or more fearful things by offering up something smaller or easier.
Yeah. You know, if I could extend your metaphor a little bit further, I think the shallow end of the pool is also so crowded.
Yeah.
Like there's so many people packing in saying like, oh yeah, this is the fun part of the pool. Like this is where you have to be. And so if somebody wants to try that, they get into the shallow end and it's crowded and uncomfortable and it's got people saying all the shallow stuff and like, I don't want to get out of that. Right. And so I think there's a lot of this perception of like almost artificial or performative confession, that turns off people from the actual practice of saying, if you get past that and go to the deeper water, look at what you can do when you swim around in this space that that is available to you, but all we see is this crowded mass of performative confession.
But also, like, if everybody's just hanging out in the I judge my neighbor, you don't want to be the person who drops the I've developed a taste for human flesh into that, you know? Like,
that's and not let me tell you, my neighbor was delicious. No judgment.
I do love my neighbor with barbecue sauce.
Why stop at judging?
Right? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like being the first one to like, here's the bomb of confession, and you're and everybody else is like, I'm not. We are not like emotionally or spiritually ready for that. And I can say like, I've led youth trips, and sometimes, you know, kids will share things, and I think sometimes they share things that the group has not yet earned the right to hear, and I will kind of feel for those kids, because I'm like, I think you have something that you want to share, but we as a group have not earned this right. And like you're sharing a deep end of the pool, and we're playing on a splash pad. Like, that's what we're doing, and so, like, we're not there with you. And it can feel weird. It can feel weird for the group. It can feel weird for that person because nobody knows quite how to respond, or nobody was like,
"Yeah, me too.
I'll go next." Right? Right. Like, it's just like a thing that just hovers there, and that can be difficult.
Yeah.
And also, sometimes it's easier for some people to say, like, by sharing this shallow thing, I have selective vulnerability that I can give the appearance, I'm so vulnerable. Yeah. Look at me right now.
Look how vulnerable I am.
But I'm carefully curating that vulnerability. Yeah.
Right.
Like, this is a part of me that I'm so willing to share that it covers up the parts of me that I want to hide even more by addressing, you know, like kind of like a magician. I've got my my distraction. Yeah. You know, so
one last thing I'll throw in is I think that people have watched confession from churches and seen it done horribly. And I think that's a huge turnoff to people, right? When you watch someone like stand up, like, you know, this happened with the Andy Stanley thing and things like that. We talked about this previously, right? He stands up before a congregation that was completely unimpacted by his acts that had happened so long before. And it's like, I confess I did this thing. And then the congregation stands up and applauds.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's it. You confessed. You're done. And like, there's no attempt to apologize to the woman that was impacted by this, right?
Yeah,
like,
all these
other things. Like, I think we see that and we're like, I don't want any part of that. So, it's a turnoff for the whole process of confession as well.
Yeah, we've definitely seen that. Like, some tribalism take place where one, you know, beloved figure confesses something awful or minimizes it and they're like, no big deal. I'm like, it is a big deal. You know,
right.
Like, there should be a level of accountability here.
Right.
Or we can go, you know, the flip side is somebody shares something that the group or the congregation or the tribe says that's outside of our boundaries and you got to get out.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, like, how many kids who grew up in church and are LGBTQ and confessed, this is what I am, and no longer felt this is a space for me.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that that is like, and that kind of like says, like, you know, violates the God loves you and so do we.
Yeah.
Except blank.
Until the
So there's definitely this. So this is why I think reasons why kind of we don't do that.
Yes.
All right, but now why should we?
Why should we?
I mean, these are all valid reasons, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's valid reasons, like, maybe it's too heavy for the group.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're going to get judged. And if in every circle, Christians are not immune to judgment. And in some ways, harsher perpetrators of it than
Judgment Olympics.
Yeah, than the surrounding or our non-Christian neighbors. You know, the, like, why should we do? Is there value in just in confession?
Yes.
Okay. So what is that?
Well, it was a yes no question at least.
I'm sorry.
Why? So I think one, the Bible and Jesus tell us to, right? I think that. If we want to take seriously the words of Jesus and the words of Scripture, it implies and says directly that confession is good and there is an opportunity for healing there. From a psychological standpoint, there's plenty of evidence to say that this kind of act of confessing things can be a source of healing and of renewing your life going forward, right? Changing directions and everything like that. And three, I think there's a real sense of Jesus calls us to live differently than we're living now. And if we don't name the things that we want to be different, we don't know how to change it, right? If we don't name those things, we can't change them.
Hmm.
That's my list.
Yeah, I think, you know, like, whatever is, like, left in the dark can always like fester and grow.
Sure.
And I think that that is just the reality.
Like a fungus.
Like a fungus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not a tasty fungus like mushrooms.
And so sometimes like shining a light on it in a different way beyond like just talking to yourself or to God exposes it, you know, to yourself in a different way. And to say like, okay, this is something that needs to be addressed. This is no longer something that I'm just going to let sit there and fester and grow. But by shining a light on it, one, I have to address it.
Yeah.
Like, or, and two, I have to feel like I'm still loved and valuable in it. And and he quotes, or she, I don't know, Taylor quotes Tim Keller. And I think this is a great quote by Tim Keller here.
Tim Keller's a man. We know that one.
Tim Keller's a man. He's a pastor, and it was a pastor in New York City. We probably would disagree on a lot, but I think he is.
Yeah. He's got some good stuff.
He's got some great stuff. And I think he's ultimately a reasonable human being. So,
yeah.
Did he retire?
He's dead.
Oh.
Cancer.
Well, sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
People were surprised are dead that are.
Yes.
he says, to be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is what we need more than anything.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I think that that's great. I think that that makes sense, right? Like, I think, like, to have somebody out there to say, like, they know the deepest and darkest parts of me and still say I'm valuable and loved is liberating and freeing more than anything, maybe. So maybe that's why confession matters.
Yeah. What was it? The first step is admitting you have a problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like, that's kind of
flaming,
it, that's part of it, right? Is saying, like, oh, like, there is something going on here. And, you know, if let's assume that this something is sinful and something that therefore you want to change, like, if that, if you want to go through that process, you have to start with admitting it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the other piece of that is that it, there's probably a sense of like not having to carry it alone anymore, right? Yeah. Like, if I'm just in my own head struggling with something, that's very different than me saying to one of you two, for instance, like, hey, like, this is going on, and one of you being like, oh yeah, me too, or like, you know, whatever, or here's a resource or whatever.
I think that's really helpful. I think the other piece of this is that historically the church did think confession was really important, right? I mean, it is a sacrament within the Catholic tradition for a reason, right? Within the Lutheran church, it's no longer a sacrament. We don't need to get into that. But it is still something that we talk about as very being very important. And we live that out through corporate confession, right? And that's what you were talking about at the beginning, right? Where we, at the beginning of many of our services, together will say a confession, which is intended to be a way in which we're all doing that together. And so what we sometimes lose within the Lutheran church is this individual, what are the actual things that I am doing? I think part of the reason that we get tangled up in that is that we really appropriately want to lean into the steadfast love of God for all people in all circumstances, right? And the reality is God loves you right now as you are, but also there are things about you that are not in line with what God wants for you, right?
Yeah.
And I think, Patrick, you've said this before, and I don't know if you were quoting somebody else or maybe you made it up. So if this was you, I'll give you credit. If it was somebody else, you can point me in the right direction. But it was something along the lines of, God loves you exactly as you are right now, or God loves you so much exactly as you are right now, and God loves you too much to let you stay that way.
I definitely did not make that up, but I've heard it.
But something along those lines.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's okay to both be fully loved as you are and to realize there are things about how you are living your life that are not in line with what the person who loves you desires for you.
Yeah, for sure. I so I had a student and who was outed by her school, and her family surrounded her with love, and it was it was a beautiful moment. And she and I talked, and I was like, why didn't you know what was challenging about you about coming out to your family?
Because
like, it's from my perspective from the outside, like, they were going to be supportive, they were going to be loving, they were going to be kind, like. Some kids I know have like a very real risk.
Sure.
And I was like, I did, from my perspective, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
But I'm not you. So I was, you know, trying to learn and, you know, ask these questions. And she told me, you know, like, kids in great homes have the most to lose. Right. Like, and so like, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, that just like shifted. Right. Like, so confession is hard because it acknowledges like there's a lot to be lost here.
Yeah.
Like, if this, if you're worthy enough to hear something hard and that's going on inside of me, then if that is gone, it matters, right? Like, we don't like, you don't necessarily confess to like strangers, or maybe that's easier to confess to strangers.
Cause
like there's nothing to lose, right? Yeah. Like, if they are like, you're gross and get away from me, you're like, well, I don't care about you anyway.
Yeah.
And maybe it's easier to go to a Catholic church and, you know, sit in a booth and there's another person on the other side of the screen and they don't know you and you don't know them. And
I
do that all day. I would love to do that, actually. Just confess. Be like, here's all the weird stuff going on in my head.
to hear the confession or be the confessee?
Both.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, they both sound good to me.
It should be that. Like, you go in,
right.
And then and you confess. And then they yeah. It's more, you know.
Mutual.
Yeah. Right. And you just sit there until the next person comes in. Right. On the other side, yeah.
If the Catholic Church is one thing, it's embracing mutuality between That's something they're really known for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I do have a confession.
Okay. Oh.
I've made a soup for tonight.
Wow.
My mortal enemy soup. Right. And I have put it together. This is like
Look
in Star Wars, The Last Jedi, when Rey and Kylo Ren have to fight together.
Yeah.
You know.
And they kiss.
But then they fight. Then they end up becoming enemies again.
Wow.
Spoilers. But for a moment, they're aligned. And me and soup.
Yeah.
I had to put it all together. A creamy potato and sausage soup.
Oh, that sounds nice.
That sounds good, yeah.
Sounds like you put some work into that.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Yeah.
I peeled several potatoes. I cut out some sausage.
A singular potato.
Three potatoes. But they were big potatoes, right?
That's right. Three big potatoes.
Yeah, so there you go.
Good for you. Thank you for your confession.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to absolve you for anything, because I don't think making soup is inherently an affront to God.
It is. At least I need absolution from you, because you get it. Yeah. He is, you know, out there saying, like, there's nothing wrong with soup, but you get it.
Right. You've departed just temporarily from your moral code. This is but a blip.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
We can carry this together, Patrick.
Soup is good for the soul. It's healing. That's why there's books about it.
I have a confession, is I did not make a soup, and I feel some pride about it.
Your confession is your pride?
Yes.
That is an appropriate confession. I will absolve you of that one. Yeah.
Thank you.
Are we all just going around the room?
Yeah, what's yours?
I got nothing.
Yeah. Wow. Softball.
Wow. My confession is that I...
You don't have something hard-hitting like soup?
Yeah.
Have we gone too deep too fast?
Sorry.
I said pride.
My confession is that I'm proud of myself for not hating soup as much as you both do. How's that? I'll go with pride too.
Yeah, that's fine. Yep. You're an enabler.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, do we have any other thoughts?
On confession?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's something to try, right? If you haven't done this before, give it a shot, right? If you have a trusted individual, you can start with them.
Or
if you have a trusted pastor,
see a therapist. You know, like you know, practice with someone who there's not as much to lose. I think that is an okay thing to do. Like to say, like, I want this part or whatever it is, whether it's anger, whether it's you know, a lust or whatever it is, speaking it to another person can help. So practice with a trusted person, and that might be a therapist.
Yeah.
So that way, if they're not going to say, they might think it, but they're not going to say, like, you're gross, get out of here.
Right.
Yeah.
And you still get that, let's bring light into this dark spot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I will say the distinction between therapy and confession within the context of faith is obviously bringing Jesus into it, right?
And there's Christian therapists.
Yeah. I mean, Christian therapists do exist and certainly an option. But I think having that conversation within the trusted confines of a spiritual relationship is still different than therapy. And so just consider both options.
Have you ever gone to confession at like a Catholic church?
Not at a Catholic church, because I'm not Catholic. Yeah. I've done individual confession with people before, like, because even in the Lutheran church, we have a little rite for individual confession, and there's a space for that. So you can do it, and I've done that before.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Never done that.
It is a season of Lent. In Lent, we embrace repentance, and so it's a good time to practice.
Uh-huh.
But and again, the thing about confession is not that everything that you do is wrong, right? It's not that you're like a horrible person. It's admitting to the things that you engage in that are not aligned with what God wants for you.
Yeah.
And it's ultimately about how do I be in a better relationship with God, because that's what God desires for me, and because my life will ultimately be better if I'm in a better relationship with God. And that doesn't mean more money or more whatever. It just means that you will be in a better relationship with God, which is better for you and for the people around.
Checks out.
And for me.
Yeah. And for you.
I get a bonus.
For every confession you hear.
Wait a minute.
That's right. Yeah. A little side hustle.
Right.
It's hard because you can't really follow up on it, because, you know, somebody's like doing the audit. They're like, okay, tell me what you told him in confession, and I get to decide if it's like worthy enough.
You know? No,
is it weird enough?
You just get the booth, and there's a paywall on the outside. So to get into the booth,
swipe a card.
Yeah, you swipe in advance. Yeah.
You can Klarna me confession.
Yeah. Pay up front. Oh, Klarna. Yeah, four easy payments.
This is a great idea.
For your Arby's and for
I'm going to start this small business.
Especially because if they don't pay up, you have their confession. You have leverage.
Yeah.
You
know, so.
This is great. And I love having the tea.
So I will say the other part of Catholic confession is the absolution.
Sure.
And Catholic confession comes particularly with, like, I think it's called penance is the way that they phrase it, right? There are, like, things that you're supposed to do. And probably don't phrase it this way, but my understanding is you say the prayer, you do the thing in order to earn the absolution, right? Like, when you do these things, you are forgiven, kind of thing.
They probably would not say that exactly.
What it feels like, right?
Yeah.
We still do the absolution, right? Because that's the actual act of being forgiven by God. We don't typically say, oh, well, go and do these things. Unless there's, like, an active thing that you're engaged in that is dangerous to you or others. A responsible pastor would say you can't ask for forgiveness something that you're continuing to do, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you come and confess to me, oh, I've been beating my wife for the last 4 years and I plan to continue it, like, I'm not just going to say God forgives you of that until you tell me that you're stopping that, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
God doesn't want you to do that, so don't confess that you did it with the intention of going and doing it again.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah, I think that's part of the missing piece of the confession that we haven't talked about is that.
Absolutely.
That part where you hear...
Mm-hmm.
you're loved and valued by God.
Yeah.
And hopefully you also hear you're loved and valued by this community. You know, like,
yeah.
It doesn't always happen, but that's what it should look like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have time for a funny story?
Yeah, we have time.
Is it your funny story?
What's that?
Is it your funny story?
It's a funny story that I have.
Sure.
Do you want to tell a funny story?
Like, are we all auditioning for a funny story?
Yeah. It's funny story time, Elise.
So when I worked at camp, we used to do, you know, confessions in lots of different ways because we wanted kids to be able to engage in the practice of confession in ways that were meaningful for them. And so you'd get a rock and you'd speak your sin into the rock and then you'd put the rock on the ground and, like, stomp the rock. Or you'd, like, speak it into an imaginary butterfly and then you let the butterfly fly away. And we always had to remind our staff that they couldn't just say, like, and just like you stomped on that rock, you're forgiven. Like, you have to say, like, in the name of Jesus, like, because Jesus died and rose from the dead. You're not forgiven because you stomped on a rock. You're forgiven because you are forgiven in Jesus. This is an example, and we just had to always remind them, like, the butterfly didn't forgive you. Jesus forgives you. Yeah. All right. It was not as funny in practice as it was in my head. It was fun.
I'm sure it was very funny at the time.
Well, with that, because it's time to wrap this episode up.
We forgive you.
Right. Our listeners,
who
time
knows?
Will tell. Yeah. If you don't forgive David, write in, email us at...
Sure. Email us all of your reasons that I should not be forgiven. You can send that to beyondsightpodcast@gmail.com. You can find all of our episodes and think of other things that we've done wrong that you want us to confess. You can look at those at beyondsightpodcast.com.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.